The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by everybody that supports us at patreon.com/1900wrestling. Become a part of the best wrestling community on the internet. Join our patron-only Discord. Get MP3 downloads of our Melodica cover of the week and so much more. And basically continue to pay the way for Dills and I to go to wrestling events around the country and bring you with us with our audio documentaries. Our next one will be this month, Death Before Dishonor, and in Las Vegas, Ring of Honor, Suzuki versus Cody Rhodes. It's going to be an amazing time, and you will be there with us. Thanks to everybody who supports our show. Patreon.com/1900wrestling. But enough of talking about how we put together and support the show. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you say we take the novel concept of just going ahead and doing the damn thing? Here we go.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
Hell yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as per usual, is Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing, buddy?
Dude, I'm doing fantastic. A little tired, but today is fresh Monday. There's going to be some wrestling on later, and I'm going to get to chill out and just watch it. And I feel like this weekend was so many things crammed in. I had to cram in Wrestle Circus. That's not how I like to watch wrestling. I don't want to cram. I want to chill. I want to enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to Raw tonight, SmackDown tomorrow. I'm going to chill and watch those. It's going to be great.
You know, it's funny because I kind of feel like we are in this refractory period that happens after SummerSlam as it begins to gear up for Survivor Series. This is usually when some wacky stuff happens. Belts get put on people that they wouldn't otherwise normally, because they want to reward people that they wouldn't normally have in championship scenarios. When WrestleMania comes around, the wrestling is good, and yet I feel like everybody's kind of tapping out a little bit as they get prepared for the busy season, which begins at Survivor Series.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to normally be the case. However, I would argue that right now, this No Mercy card coming up is kind of insane. Maybe it's just me, but some of these matches feel like they should have been tapped for, like, WrestleMania's 2 years from now or something like that. But instead, they're just like, nah, just do it now. Well, let's just go ahead and see this stuff.
There seems to be a little bit of urgency in WWE's booking. We had news this week that WWE will run live shows, broadcast shows, on Christmas Day and New Year's. And the reason why is because they're in kind of the beginning of the dance with USA Network. And USA Network wants live compelling programming on those days, and despite the fact that WWE doesn't like doing it, they will suck it up and they will do it for this, which also means that you're getting a lot of really, really, really good free television matches. And I think that's kind of a shifting element of the business.
That is weird. Can you imagine, by the way, watching wrestling on Christmas Day? I don't think I could convince my mom. It's hard enough with things like football and basketball.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to try to throw wrestling at her and see if that sticks. I'm just guessing no, it's not going. Although she, like, I don't know if I've ever talked, she does not like the football or the boxing or the whatever because of the violent element. If I could convince her, as I've convinced myself and maybe some of you 1-900 wrestling fans out there, that the violence is totally okay in wrestling as compared to those things.
Yeah.
Maybe she will jump on board. And then maybe I could even describe to her, like, what is great about it, right?
Well, but even then, the majority of live television on those holidays, aren't they really just things to put on so you can talk to your family that you don't talk to all the time? right?
Yeah. So you always find there's that situation where there's a bunch of people together. Not everybody like always sees each other. Not everyone always hangs out. At some point, like a group kind of shifts into a room and it's just kind of sitting around a TV. And then it's a casual conversation creator. You know, oh, check the Warriors and the Cavs again, huh?
Exactly.
Who do you think's going to win? Whatever. Yeah. And those are what they just kind of keep things light. Wrestling, I think, would be a great conversation starter, by the way.
I would love it if it was just like a very like a starter card, you know, just like a general like, oh, wow, this is for people that don't normally watch wrestling. And who knows? USA obviously wants it, so they might know something about their viewing patterns on those days. And otherwise for them, it's like if it's not live, it's like the marathon of Christmas movies or a counter programming like. It's the Psych Marathon. You'll watch
Christmas Story for the 200th time. I'm not sure if I'm going to get this over, but I'm going to try. And that
you're going to push for it.
I'm appreciating it. And New Year's Day is perfect, right? Because it's not New Year's Eve, right? It's New Year's Day. Is that right?
Let me double check.
Because I could tell you, waking up hungover on a fresh New Year's Day, I always find myself struggling for something to do. I don't know if you have this, but on New Year's Day, I always wake up and I feel like I got to do something productive, right? But I wish I could just be hungover and just chill. But I always kind of get this feeling of I need to be motivated to do something. Well, if there was wrestling that was on, I'd be like, hey, I'm doing work for the podcast, so I'm good.
Be New Year's Eve.
Oh, New Year's Eve. Okay.
Well, hold on. Wait. The New Year's night edition of Raw.
Okay.
So wait, no, maybe it is. It's just the evening of New Year's Day.
Okay. I would prefer New Year's Day, but we'll whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, no, Dizzle Smasher's got mine. I'm usually too hungover to enjoy the outdoor NHL games, which I always like. They're always fun. All right, well here, we got some stuff to talk about. We got a good philosophical wrestling question. Let's go ahead and talk about Wrestle Circus Texas versus the World. Everything got tossed into disarray. Number one, this was a card that I think was really, really fun, but also had another hurricane mar it. It was raising all the money that they raised was all going to Hurricane Harvey, which again, that's no small feat for an indie promotion to give up a source of their revenue for a month. That can kill a wrestling promotion. So good on them for doing that. That is a tremendous act of kindness for them. But also, their commentator got held up in Orlando, had to announce it from remotely because he couldn't get out because of Hurricane Irma.
It actually didn't really affect the commentating all that much. I thought he did a pretty good job.
It kind of made me think he should just be booked for every indie show ever, right?
Right, yeah, he could just be in his... in his house and just do it live remotely. And it would be like, you know, because he's watching the monitor essentially, right?
Yeah.
Which is what, if you watch Raw, they're all the commentators are looking down at their little monitors,
not
even looking forward at the ring because they need to know exactly what's being shown to the audience on TV, right? So that's all you really need at this point, this day and age, is just to get whatever the crowd is seeing and maybe have somebody who's actually there give you some kind of like, you know, cues on what's going on and things like that, what the schedule looks like, if anything changes.
Yeah.
So as long as you have that going on, it seemed to be a pretty smooth process. So I was pretty proud of them for pulling that one off.
Certainly so. And also for a television product, a streamed Twitch product, the announcing is crucial. And I would rather have somebody remotely that's really good at it than the best person that happens to be physically at that location.
Sure.
You know, I think that there is a huge market for that. That I totally think it added to the card, you know, and didn't subtract from it to just watch and commentate along. So good on them. As always, we heartily encourage you to go subscribe to the Wrestle Circus channel and watch their VODs. But really, the three biggest matches that I either partially watched or saw people buzz about the most was Britt Baker versus Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah, that was actually probably match of the night, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think that match probably outshined every single other match. And we had Sammy Guevara, Jay White on this card. You know, we had Keith Lee, Jack Evans on this card. So for them to go out there and like outwork everybody was pretty insane to watch. I think both of them, you know, the announcer was talking about Britt Baker now being like, if she was the star already, she is now. It's like, she already was. I think if anything, it like really elevated just them as like wrestlers, like to me, like, holy crap. I already liked both of them, but they just did some stuff that, but like a lot of men aren't doing, right?
And sure.
It was pretty impressive.
But also I think it was important to kind of let Britt Baker have a moment that wasn't next to Adam Cole.
True. That's very true. Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think, good for her because a lot of people were introduced to her, you know, fault of her own. Getting on the stage is what's important. But they were introduced to her as Adam Cole's girlfriend, right? And
yeah.
Now she's more of it because they've seen her have this kind of match. And again, not to blow smoke up the butthole of Twitch, but I think that that's something that's rad is that now the proof is in the pudding. You get to see these people work so much more than you would have in a DVD or iPay-per-view or Flow Slam or gated kind of area. So
yeah,
good on them.
Well, it was funny too though about the, you know, this card was that it was like a little like, you know, so I was looking at stuff like Brian Cage, Ethan Carter, EC3.
Yeah,
right. And it's funny because now when I think back on the show, like all I'm really remembering is Keith Lee, Jack Evans, and the Tessa Blanchard, Britt Baker match. Like,
yeah.
All the other stuff just kind of was what you'd expect, right? Like, everybody got all their stuff in, and it was entertaining.
It is an indie show, after all.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it was 20 minutes, and all of a sudden, some guy no-sells for a second, hits two finishers or something, and there you go. All right,
we're done.
But, like, the you know, the Keith Lee-Jack Evans match was the whole the cigarette still in his mouth thing,
yeah,
which was really entertaining. Plus, there was some insane wrestling going on.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, like, I think, you know, we kind of star made a little bit with the women's match. So those were like the ones where you actually something happened, right? Like you feel like you kind of went on a little journey. I will say this, though. I was very disappointed. And I hate saying I was disappointed with something at Wrestle Circus. But
yeah,
the Gentleman Jervis Ref Austin segment. Have you watched this?
I have not. Not yet.
Okay. Go back and watch it. And just let me know. Does it come across as awkward or did it work for you? Now they set up something very cool, which Circus Mania is coming up in a month. That's
okay.
Going to be like the 1 year anniversary of Wrestle Circus.
Wow. And
they're going to have essentially a Survivor Series style match, team Ref Austin versus Team Gentleman Jervis.
Gotcha.
So that's cool. This is what it was setting up, but it felt bad. It didn't feel, I don't know, maybe Ref Austin bit off a little more than he could chew, becoming the top heel of the promotion.
Yeah, it's. I will say, from my perspective, character wise, it's hard to interact with somebody like Gentleman Jervis if your character is not very firmly defined and you are confident in that character, right?
I could definitely see that.
Joey Ryan can interact with Gentleman Jervis, right?
Sure.
Sammy Callahan can interact with Gentleman Jervis. People who are at larger levels that have a lot of confidence in who they are and how they react, because Gentleman Jervis is a cartoon character, right?
Yeah.
Like he's this own thing that like it needs to revolve around something. You know, it needs to be
cartoonish in and of itself. I think the whole Ref Austin thing needs to be that. And I think the problem that they had here is they did something that everybody wants WWE to do, which is listen to the crowd and then give the crowd what they want.
Yeah.
Right. So the crowd kind of made Ref Austin into a heel. That was just a thing that just kind of happened over time, right? And a lot of people in the crowd couldn't even explain to you why they were booing Ref Austin so mercilessly. So I think what happened was Wrestle Circus was saying, okay, we got it. Let's capitalize on this. Let's go all the way with this. And then they started going down the storyline of beating up Gentleman Jervis. What happened here, though, is that then, you know, and we got the, it was me, Austin, it was me all along.
Yeah.
We got that, which was great. But now he comes out and he's like suddenly got a jacket on. He's trying to be cool. And it's completely against the him being like an awkward, bad ref that made everybody boo him in the first place.
Yeah.
And suddenly now his character doesn't make sense anymore. And I can't tell what his reasons are, which is a little bit of a problem, too. Like, why are you beating up Gentleman Jervis? please explain this to me in a way that makes some sense. And he tried to give some explanations during this promo, and none of them were, they did not work. Like, well, I'll just say that. They fell flat.
Listen,
so I want you to watch that, and I want to talk about it again, like, next show, because this was something that was, like, so, like, I was so excited. Maybe my expectations were a little too high or something. I don't know.
Because
I was all in. I was all in after the It's Me Austin, right?
This is also something that, you know, indie promotions have been able to be kind of graded on a curve on for a while, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because if something, absolutely, as long as you can get the live people, who cares how it really plays? If you're there and you're feeling the energy, then it's good. And you can hide,
sure,
some maybe not as good, not as tight character work as you would hope, right? Maybe some not as great acting, you know, maybe not as great improv, as long as the people there are having a good time. But now that it's a television product, too.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're playing outward. You're playing to the thousands of people. There are many, many, many more people that were watching live than we're watching in the arena. So, you know, we'll.
Well, think about what, like, Sami Callihan and, in, you know, his promo work when we were there.
Yeah.
And how that ended up playing as a TV show, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think the bar is being raised for good reason in the indie scene, now that Twitch is a thing. People are going to have continuity in a much more real way, right? So, yeah, I think they're going to have to respond to that. And we'll see. We'll see how they do. I think there's a lot of people fully capable. I think here what happened is just you got a guy who his job was to do something, and now suddenly his job is to do something else.
Yeah.
That is maybe a little bit beyond his comfort zone so far. And maybe he'll grow into that. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, listen, it's it is what it is. And again, this is one of the founding tenets of this podcast. Wrestling is not, it is about batting average, not about perfection. It is baseball, not gymnastics. If you are,
yes,
if you are hitting 30% out of the 30% into the field, you're one of the greatest of all time. It's not about nailing everything perfectly. So, yeah, I'll tell you what. I was really, really happy. And I'll tell you what. Know who else I loved? And I have not watched a lot of TNA, so this is something that I have not gotten the full Monty on until I watched her on Wrestle Circus, was the hot mess, Laurel Van Ness. Have you seen this character? Did you see the Joey Ryan, Laurel Van Ness match?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. So that was, yeah, the whole Joey Ryan, everything that about what Joey Ryan was doing was phenomenal. It was great. And actually, at some point, we're going to philosophically debate,
yeah,
what the independents are doing, the WWE is not doing as when it comes to men versus women.
Sure, because, intergender
holy
violence.
Holy crap, it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that was phenomenal.
I love
it. If they got one thing wrong, they got many, many things right, and this was one of them for sure.
She is great, and it really, 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 it, among the many reasons why it should be lamented that TNA / GFW / Impact / Anthem / whatever just seems to be in such a perpetual chaos is that where they were going with that broken Matt Hardy stuff, where they could do so many more long vignettes that could also play virally and stuff like that. I kind of feel like she was just another, she is such a fully realized character that you could do more. I want to see her out on the streets. I want to see her, you know, at other crashing bachelorette parties. I want to see her just doing all these other things that could also devolve into wrestling matches. And I loved her on Wrestle Circus. I hope I see her back there. And with any other independents that also wants to stream for free, because that's primarily how I'm going to see independent content.
She was over. I'm sure she'll be back.
All right. What do you want to do? You want to talk about the Young Bucks getting a C&D, or do you want to talk about the No Mercy card?
Let's just real quick talk about this No Mercy card, because I just kind of want to bring up, now maybe this is just me.
Yeah.
But not only does this feel a little weird that, like you brought up at the beginning of the show, that this is kind of an interesting time usually for WWE. Because, SummerSlam is over now. That's the second biggest show of the year. And now we've kind of got this bit of time where, yes, there's some other of the big four pay-per-views and stuff come like that aren't too far away. But, yeah, there's like, you know, kind of just some stuff. Like, let's just fill some time, kind of set up a few things up, give some people some chances to do some things and see where you are. But this one feels like it is not only are we 2 weeks out and everything seems to be set. It just seems like we already have a full card.
Yeah.
And that has not been the case the last few pay-per-views. It seems like we're kind of like last minute, like, oh, and this match is happening and this match is happening. Sometimes even a week before, all of a sudden everything gets set, right?
Yeah.
So it feels like everything's been set for a long time here. And we've got Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, and John Cena, Roman Reigns at the top of this show.
That's
is
a hell of a...
Is something weird going on here, or is it just... Be, like, I feel like this is about to be, like, the fifth big one or something. Like, this might even be bigger than some of the other shows we've already seen. They're supposed to be better than a show like No Mercy.
Well, you know, it's kind of remarkable, number one, because it's a pairing of four big stars, but also, you know, Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman is something that people want to see. They've done a really good job of putting Brock against people that the crowd is really into seeing him fight, be it Samoa Joe or now Braun Strowman. That four-way was amazing. The determinant to lead into Great Balls of Fire was fantastic. And then John Cena, Roman Reigns. Listen, whatever you think about either of those, of course you want to see him fight.
Yeah. This right? is literally like these are the two guys who are the tweener guys that, you know, you love to hate, you hate to love, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole thing. And now we got both of them. They can flip flop. I'm working heel for the beginning of the match. Now you work heel. Now I work heel again. They can do whatever they want with this. Like, this is going to be so entertaining. And it's just weird because you mentioned Great Balls of Fire. In a lot of ways, like, the SummerSlam card was kind of a letdown until we got the massive main event. I feel like Great Balls of Fire was, like, just an insanely good pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That nobody saw coming. And suddenly WWE is, like, seems to be doing this, where they're just giving us these fire pay-per-views.
Wow. Here's a shot giving the people what they want.
Yeah, right? But they're doing them in the quote-unquote throwaways, right? Like, yeah. the ones that nobody really cares about. You wouldn't think of No Mercy as the place that would have, you know, two of the biggest matches of the year. And yet here we are. So I'm excited. I'm excited as hell for it.
I think it's going to be great. And John Cena, man, he, I think, is the most popular that he has been.
Oh, yeah.
In oh so many years. People love him. And because now we know he's not always going to be there. He's going to only be here for a couple months. He's going to wrestle, you know, a couple guys, and then that'll be it. They're probably going to be handpicked by him and Vince mm-hmm. McMahon. It's going to be the big people that we want him to see fight. And then he'll be gone, and he'll be, you know, doing the Bumblebee movie, and he'll be doing...
And not only that, he's actually also kind of at the tail end of a career. So, you know, it's like he's still very much... He can wrestle. Physicality is not a problem for him yet. He's taking care of himself, clearly.
Yeah.
And he's in really, really good shape. But I think another reason that, you know, he's like maybe going out in the best way possible, where he's like, I'm going to now just embrace everything about my character that has been happening for the last, you know, 15 years. And we're just going to rock with that on the way out. I'm just going to treat this like a fun time. You know, I'm not going to try to, like, get too serious here at the end.
Because he seems like he's having fun in a way that I can't remember him having fun since I started watching wrestling again. You know, he's interacting with the crowd in a different way. The crowd's responding to him in a different way. But also... You can tell that he knows every moment he gets in that ring is going to be precious for him. He likes it. And that's always, yeah. That enthusiasm is always rad.
Yeah, it is cool. I think this brings us right into our philosophical question because there's got to be a right way to do this, right?
Yeah, well, here, let's bang through a few more things before we get into the sure. philosophical right. question here. Real quick, the Young Bucks get a cease and desist from WWE for the phrase "suck it." You know, I don't know what really the story here is, aside from this seems like a fairly routine C&D defense. You know, by the WWE, it's more for the merchandise than it is for anything else. But yeah, I'll tell you what, the Young Bucks are really making hay of it, which is great because now they get to say, hey, what's one thing that gets indie fans Irish up? When the mean old WWE comes in and starts, you know, squashing the young guys. And it's like, so I don't know. I don't know what really there is to say here other than good on the Young Bucks for making the most out of this and continuing to push all that merch.
Well, they're the kings of turning it into like comedy gold on Twitter and then bringing that and then having that like translate to the next show. Because I love the whole they're bringing people back from the dead. You know, they're referring to Adam Cole, who's like, you know, was dead.
And it's like, by the way, now Sports Illustrated is referring, you know, about as straight face as possible to a kayfabe murder that took place on somebody's YouTube series. Right.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's exactly what's happening.
But then there's also potentially some news here that now they're taking our dear friend Hangman.
I think
officially announced anywhere?
No,
I mean, people kind
that's
of
them working that okay. They're going to have that 6-man match at the show we're going to go see at Death Before Dishonor. And now they're like rumoring, oh, they took Adam Cole. Will they take Hangman next? And maybe they will, but I don't think it's
happening. Maybe they will.
I think that's just them working to get some eyes on Death Before Dishonor. All right, let me shout out this one thing. Have you ever heard of the YouTube series Nobody's Watching Wrestling?
No, I have not.
Allow me.
I gotta check this out.
To introduce you to Nobody's Watching Wrestling. Let me see if
I can.
Are you
in the market?
All right, here we go. I'm just going to play a little bit for you. This is a YouTube series, Nobody's, as in the plural of nobody. It is two drag queens who review pay-per-views. They spend about as much time talking about outfits and who wears underwear or not as they do the matches. But I have to say, it is fantastic. I'll just play a little bit for anybody who is watching here on YouTube.
Hi, I'm Ariel Italic.
I'm Lady Berica Andrews.
Our sound person just farted.
Ooh, we're the Nobodies, and you're watching Nobody's Watching Wrestling. We watched SummerSlam, and it took so long that I grew a beard and Berica's fell out.
All right, so it is great. You know, I can't speak highly enough for it. I went back and watched their entire stuff. They really have only been doing it for probably 3 or 4 months, but
yeah. So they are the Nobodies.
They are the Nobodies.
Yes. Okay, and they only have 5,000 subscribers. This looks like some really good content.
It's
for only 5,000 subscribers.
High quality. They are. If you like extended conversations about who's wearing weave and male and female, by the way, just very catty, angry comments about outfits and booking decisions, then please go ahead and check it out. Big shout out
to
Nobody's Watching Wrestling. Cannot speak highly enough for it. Let's go ahead and get into our philosophical question. And this one's a weighty one. Dills, when does the old wrestler become sad? I want to break down the elemental moments. Is it in ring? Is it out of ring? Obviously, Ric Flair kind of is the poster child of it. Can you stave off being the sad old wrestler if you are greater in your career? Or is it worse when you are greater? Is it physical health? Do you need to stay in character longer? Do you need to recede from your character? When I say sad old wrestler, when do you think that turn happens?
I mean, it's different for everybody, obviously. Some people seem to be able to go for a lot longer than others. And I mean, if we're talking about one in particular, which, you know, you've linked here, which is Ric Flair right now.
Yeah.
It's okay. He got sad, right?
When did he get sad?
He got sad after he was not sad until he wrestled after his actual retirement match with a thank you, I love you, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Stuff. none of it was sad up until then. It was definitely like, oh, he's getting old. And we all knew it. But look, he was old for like the last two decades of his career.
He was old when he was young. Like,
exactly.
He just looked like the most suave dad in history with his long flowing white hair and his body that was never as good as anybody else's.
Sure. And it was like leathery skin and the whole thing. It was just, you know, it was like seeing your dad in his underwear when you saw him like in his trunks.
Yeah.
It was just kind of whatever. But, it was all fine because it was just kind of, it became essentially like part of his character, like being more experienced wrestler who was once the greatest, right?
Not fine. It was the coolest thing on the planet and remains the coolest thing on the planet. You can play old Ric Flair stuff and you're like, that is the coolest motherfucker who ever walked the earth.
That's very true. And then once you have that moment that's supposed to be your final moment and it's that epic, then to then come back and then it not be your moment, I think is... That's the moment it became sad there.
So it was literally
a pinpoint. You could just say, like, here it is. Here was the moment it became sad, right?
So that.
And a lot of times it's not that way. It's like a gradual. And then all of a sudden you're like, damn, this is kind of sad, isn't it? You know?
So wait a minute. So then at that point, what you're pointing to, if I can break it down, is you're looking at the defiance of the narrative. The narrative says, we're building. We give you the exit. Or it is time for you. The story has ushered you off, and yet you are staying on the stage, or you are going to another stage. Like, that is now sad. I feel pity for you that you could not take the stage direction of the narrative.
You know, I will say this. I never felt like pity, but it tarnished the original story to a certain extent. It's like if you read a book and then the ending, you just close it. You're like, oh, my God, that was amazing. And then you look on the back and they're like, oh, by the way, all these characters who died all came back to life. And this happened and this happened. You're like, wait, what? Like, there's an epilogue that I didn't know about and didn't need. That's kind of what it was like. It was like I didn't need this to happen. And I guess he did. And so that kind of changed. But I will give anybody who's in a competitive endeavor like this the benefit of the doubt. On the fact that I don't know how hard it is to walk away from something like that.
Yeah.
You know, as podcasters, we won't have to someday go, oh, I guess we can't talk anymore. You know, it's not the same. Like a guy like Brett Favre, people try to pontificate on how they know what he should have done at the end of his career. It's like, you weren't one of the best quarterbacks of all time. You're a guy in a bar telling me how Brett Favre ruined it by coming back three or four times. Like, and you don't know that feeling.
And,
you know?
And aside from that, we look at it again in terms of stories. You have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And to us, you had your end. Why did you give up that end? You are adding epilogue on epilogue on epilogue on epilogue unnecessarily. To them, there's paychecks. People are saying, hey, would you like money? And they're like, sure. As it turns out, I've been terrible at saving my entire life. Mm. So I would like more money. Thank you very much.
A little too much freewheeling and dealing and kiss stealing, you know? Like, look, when you steal kisses, it costs you money.
Well, because listen, it was wheeling, stealing, limousine riding, jet flying, not like...
Jet flying.
Not tax preparing, 401k saving, you know?
Retirement. Not diversifying my bonds. Yeah,
bond diversifying. Woo! Son of a gun.
So yeah, I mean it's super true that someone's gonna wave money in your face. You're probably gonna here's exactly what I'm sure happened. He stepped away for a while. He's like, man, I feel great. What do you know? Like not wrestling for a little bit. My body feels a little better. And then someone says, hey, I'll pay you some money to come over here to Impact. He's like, okay.
Sure.
I like that. I like money. And the thing is, too, like I say that we don't know what that feels like. But it's got to be really difficult because it keeps happening over and over again. Right. It's not just Ric Flair. It's like every wrestler, every person who's put in this position who still feels like they can go goes a year or two too long. Right. You very rarely see the guy win the championship and then go, cool, I'm out. You know, John Elway kind of did it. Peyton Manning attempted to kind of do it. Like, but, you know, it's got a couple wrenches thrown into the plan. Guy like Joe Montana goes to the Chiefs. You know, it's like this.
Well, all right. So let's
kind of stuff just happens, right?
Let's take it outside the ring. and compare it to mainstream sports people. Is there a way to age gracefully outside the ring? Is there a way to be not the sad wrestler if you're signing at a convention? Is there a way not to be a sad wrestler, you know, in your post-match, your post-wrestling world? Or is that just always, are old wrestlers inherently sad?
You know, I don't think so. I think there is a way. And generally, it's you can look at a guy like Dusty Rhodes or somebody like that. You need to move into a different part of the profession, right? Which is oftentimes what you see the athletes do. These mainstream athletes start to become, some of them move on and become coaches, right? Some of them move on and become commentators. Some of them move on and become, so that's the way to do it. It's just when you just stay in the ring for too long, right? That's when it becomes sad. And some guys, the sadness has nothing to do with necessarily age, right? You can look at like a Scott Hall, right? And you can just say, you know, that it's just sad when you just can't physically do the thing you used to do.
You don't belong in a ring because you're screwed up.
Yeah, and you keep trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like, but there's so many guys who have done exactly, William Regal, like, you know, he could probably still have a match right now.
Probably.
But he's instead doing, you know, the NXT thing, and it's working really well. And he's still like a personality. He's still out there.
Kurt Angle is still with better hair.
Almost got sad.
Better hair than 90% of the main roster.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is whatever is happening on William Regal's head is just maybe one of the greatest things, not only in professional wrestling, in all of media.
It's in world. Yeah, in the world.
In the world. William Regal's hair is a modern fucking marvel.
So yeah, but I mean, so this is the thing. You have to just pick and choose the right moment to transition, right? And everybody will still love that character, but man, you don't want people to cringe when you take a bump, right? And I think that's where you run into an issue. And it's funny that you put this one here, because I recently watched The Wrestler again.
Yeah.
And what a great piece of just cinema that is, first of all.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. I remember when it came out, I was like, it's so cool that they made like a good movie about wrestling, because there's just been so many movies where you're like, okay, no holds barred. Okay. All right. And they're fun and whatever, but it was like, oh, they're taking this seriously. Right. They treat the character seriously. They treat what happens in the back, not as like a joke. Right. The fact that it's premeditated, we're still athletes, but we're back there like working with each other. Right. Everything they did, they kind of got right.
Yeah.
Right. And then they also got really right what it's like to get old.
I mean, what we assume, right? What we assume is right. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you watch like The Wire and you're like, oh my God, they got street level drug dealing so right. And it's like, sure, I guess, you know, it felt right to me, somebody who's never dealt drugs on the streets of Baltimore.
You've never stood on a corner in Baltimore?
I've never been a corner boy myself, but it felt authentic, and that felt authentic to me. I'm sure that there are people that wrestle that would be like, well, yes, it got some things right, it got other things wrong.
That's absolutely true. I think, though, from what I've seen, my perspective, because I have seen some of these signings, I have seen like some things like that. I've, you know, been to a couple of promotions where there's the older guy, then there's the young up and comers, and like, you know, it all felt authentic because of what I have seen. Like, nothing felt out of place based on my actual experience. And you're right. If I watched The Wire, I got no corner boy experience.
No,
I've never had to get the count right.
No, nope.
So you know, it's that's not a world I know. But I think this, I do have a little bit more of an insight into this one, and it did all feel right. But I think also one of the biggest points about that movie wasn't just that, like, getting old in something like wrestling can be hard, but like just getting old can be hard, right?
Yes.
Because everybody has had a prime, and then at some point you are past that prime, and people look at you differently. People don't maybe even take you as seriously. Like, suddenly you're somebody who did do something, but now isn't anymore. Like, that's a weird, hard thing that every single human who actually gets old is going to have to deal with, right?
And it that movie is great because 80% of that story is every old rock star story.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
It's just, I was super hot. People still come out to see me because of how hot I was way back when. And now it's not the same. The difference is that an old rock star can sing the old songs. And, you know, yeah, Axl Rose can't hit those notes like he used to. Yeah, Elton John can't hit those notes like he used to. Yeah, the one-hit wonder can't sing that song like they did back in 1984. But the crowd just kind of shrugs and gets over it and still sings along, right?
Well, and also there's a lot more you can do to mask that, right?
Yeah.
In a loud stadium, you can definitely do a little with the audio. You can tweak some stuff here. You can throw a little auto tune in when you need to. But when your number one hit was leaping off of a top rope,
exactly,
onto a guy.
Yeah. And
you can't
that.
Ask that. You got to actually do it.
You have to do that every time you want to get paid. Now, let me ask you this. Because what we have seen a gigantic proliferation of is ex-wrestlers defining themselves via podcasts. Right? Now, every wrestler that ever was famous has a podcast, right? And Edge and Christian. Edge specifically has talked a lot about not wanting to be that guy. And Steve Austin's talked a lot about not wanting to be that guy, that when they stepped away, it took them a long time to make peace with the idea that I used to do this thing, now I can't do this thing anymore.
Sure.
And they had to get it out of their system, and they didn't want to be the guy hanging around trying to catch a break, right?
Yeah.
But they both do podcasts now. Is new media the salvation to say, hey, look, now let's say, just because we talk about them a lot, Wrestle Circus, right? Or just because let's have another indie that we love to blow smoke up, like Hood Slam, right?
Sure.
Let's say that you were an Edge or a Christian or something like that. Now you make X amount of money on your podcast. That gets you something like that. Is it more worthwhile for you in an era of Patreon, an era of Twitch, for you to say, hey, if because I'm involved and I can get paid off it, Wrestle Circus or Hood Slam can go from 1,000 people watching to 6,000 people watching, and now that money works in a different way, that now there is, I can really leverage my old fame in a way that is now relevant and fun, and I'm a part of a new cutting edge. I have new cutting edge fame that is certainly not the same as everybody and their mom watching wrestling like they did in the 90s, but in a post-monoculture era where cutting edge coolness matters for a lot, they can create a new aura for themselves and create another second act. Does that become an exciting place where you can leverage old fame? And now it's super cool that a performer now can be super relevant in something like live stream and stuff like that. Like, I think
I hope this is exactly the type of road that people go down, because, you know, there's definitely a thing where, you know, and I know this not through personal experience necessarily, but through talking with people that, you know, you get old, like people get really old when they retire, right?
Yeah.
Where like suddenly you see them like a few years later and you're like, wow, you're like just completely different. It's when they just kind of stop trying new stuff. And they just go like, okay, now I'm just going to settle down because I'm just kind of tired.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's like they just keep getting more and more tired. And you're like, yeah, you're not like challenging yourself every day, right? Like, you're not doing something different every day. That I think is exactly the type of way to kind of remain relevant and in a way, like kind of stay young or stay fresh. It's like you transition to something different that is something that isn't necessarily being done or something. You continue to challenge yourself, get yourself out of your comfort zone. It's one of the reasons why I even wanted to like take this bartending gig was I need to do something new.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want to get a second job where they're like, yeah, here, like, you know, push some buttons in an audio fashion. I'm like, yeah, I already do that. I was like, yeah, something different that I've never done. Okay, cool. And it's like every time I go in now, it's like a challenge. I'm learning something different. You can always do that. And the people, when they stop doing that and they just try to stay doing the one thing that they've ever done, that's probably the thing that really more than anything else contributes to something becoming sad, right?
Stagnation.
Stagnation. Exactly.
So, all right. Let me, one last thing. We'll go out on this. Yes or no answer. Is Terry Funk sad?
You know, funny enough, I would have thought yes, but I'm starting to think no.
Why?
I'm starting to think that maybe it's just admirable and he's just some sort of superhuman. And I guess the real issue here is we haven't found out yet if it's sad, I think.
Well, no, you know, if it's not sad now, like this is the thing where every time, every moment that you're not sad, you're not, like you've won, right? Like
yeah.
this is true. An accumulation situation because yeah. We'll assume at some point everybody will be sad, right?
Yeah,
it'll
yeah,
be
yeah,
sad
yeah,
when
yeah.
You're in the casket.
Sure, yeah. But no, I mean, but yeah, I mean, he's been into basically his mid-70s, right? Like, he's old, man.
Yeah.
And he's still, yeah, let me, I think we talked about this recently, but I'm pretty sure he's 73. Yeah, 73 years old. The man lived like, you know, would Don Draper still be doing advertising if he was around right now?
Oh
no, probably not.
I'd love to see Terry Funk just meditating on that whatever California hill.
Sure. He's like, I got a great idea about Coca-Cola. So yeah, I'm going to say no. Funny enough, no, he's not sad.
I would kind of agree, and I wonder what that says, because talk about the guy who stayed on too long. I mean, he is a part of the canonical wrestling documentary in the 90s. When he's retiring, he's talking
sure.
about having his last match in an era where everybody else who is in on that card at his last match is retired and he's not. Right.
Yeah.
I wonder, and I think a part of that was his career was really rejuvenated with ECW. He was part of this Renegade thing. I wonder if certainly podcasting is there in terms of talking, but if there's a room. If there's room for somebody to take what's happening now with live streaming and say, you want to know what? The money's not there yet, but it's getting there. And maybe, just maybe, someone's going to be, you know, bold enough to make a big play with big money on free live streaming. And you can coax a few of these kind of bigger names to say, you want to know what? Maybe I am willing, maybe not to wrestle, right? Maybe to be a commissioner or some other figure that is just a part of the product, but to freshen up that character, maybe, just maybe, stable.
I feel like I would love to see that. It's funny because you kind of see some of that tried on the bigger stage, but you haven't really seen it tried down on the indies as much, right?
No,
like you see like a Hulk Hogan go into Impact, right, and stuff like that. But like you could take a bunch of these guys and tie their names to these promotions like Wrestle Circus and stuff, and my God, what it would do for them, you know, just a bunch of fresh eyes in the first place.
Yeah,
and give them a chance to reinvent themselves. So
all right, well, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and get into our most exciting and popular segment of the show. That is our Melodica cover. This was last week's Dills. Speaking of the devil, that of course.
I mean, this is two episodes in a row. We talked a lot about him. It only makes sense that the Melodica theme was played in both of them.
I really want to just have. Maybe we just need to make a viral video where it's just our Melodica covers over footage of them, of like the wrestlers coming out. I feel like that's something that
that'd
needs
be pretty good.
That
yeah.
needs to happen. All right, and then this is the this week's Melodica Challenge. Of course, Ric Flair. If you didn't know that, then stop listening to the podcast. Here we go.
Yeah.
One more time.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You know, I almost wish that he hadn't played the whole first bit, like, or the whole second bit, like, just cut off just after a little bit, right? That'd been great.
I just love just to hear him just slapping those keys as hard as he can. It's so good. Well, of course, you can get your MP3 version and double check that who you think it is indeed correct by becoming a patron. Patreon.com/1900wrestling. Dills, I listened to the most recent edition of your Hearthstone podcast, The Angry Chicken. I didn't get around to texting you and Joss, but I thought you guys did a great job of holding down the fort while Garrett was out there nailing down his house for Hurricane Irma.
Yeah, dude.
I thought you guys did a fantastic job, so kudos on that. Where can people find you other than this 1-900 Wrestling show?
So check me out on the Angry Chicken podcast. We record on Tuesdays, so you'll see me there tomorrow if you want to check it out. That's just look on iTunes, all the places where you find podcasts, you will find it. And also check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/WillyDills. At Twitter or on Twitter, I'm at Willie Dills. And then also on September 22nd, I want to try to find a way to watch this. I don't think it's going to be possible, but here is the next Terry Funk retirement match.
Uh-oh.
Scheduled for September 22nd. Rock and Roll Express is going to face Doug Gilbert, Jerry Lawler, and Lawler's son, Brian Christopher. So Funk will be teaming with the Rock and Roll Express.
Too sexy. Grandmaster.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know how you can watch big time wrestling, but I'm gonna try to find it somehow. I don't know.
Is it in Texas or is it in Tennessee?
I'm gonna do a little research, I guess. But you know, big time wrestling, you guys should check out Twitch and get your stuff on there.
Big time wrestling looks to be in Fremont, California.
Oh my God. Really?
Uh-oh.
But this actual match is actually, I'm seeing, is at Raleigh, North Carolina.
Ah, okay. Maybe there's multiple big-time wrestlings.
Maybe, yeah, I guess so. But I'm seeing, it's showing the Terry Funk and Rock and Roll Express versus the King, or they're calling it the King's Memphis Mafia.
Ah.
Jerry the King Lawler, Brian Christopher, and Doug Gilbert. Also, whoa, big, sexy Kevin Nash.
Oh.
Sergeant Slaughter, Badass Billy Gunn, Gangrel, Tommy Rich, Jimmy Valiant, Flex Armstrong, and much more.
They're all coming out. Get your $100 ready.
Front row platinum VIP, only $75.
You know our rule here. Always overpay for indie tickets. You can never go wrong. All right, folks. We broadcast live here on twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. Every single Monday for 1-900 Wrestling. It usually takes place around 10 o'clock on Monday mornings here Pacific time. That would be 1 o'clock in the afternoon East Coast time. Follow me here and tell you what, more and more stuff in the offing. Dills, tell you what, this has been a fantastic episode. As per usual, a reminder, patreon.com/1900wrestling is where you can support this show. But until next time, this is Justin Robert Young for Willie Dills Gregory reminding you to be dialing. See you next week.
Remember the number 1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Horror.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
And his name is John C.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.